Are you a grill master? Are you looking to take your barbecue to the next level? Then you absolutely have to try Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. Y'all, I swear there was no relation here, but I wish there was, because this is some of the best barbecue sauce I've ever had. Originally created by the co-founder of Bojangles and kept in the Cox family for generations, Cox Sauce is a sweet and tangy Carolina Red barbecue sauce that goes great on chicken, ribs, pork, shrimp, and seafood. Just drizzle some on before everything's done, and you'll get that sweet, perfect tang with a touch of heat. Barbecue sauce also makes the best gift since it's kid-friendly and cheaper than whiskey. Head to their website and get a free bottle when you purchase three, or stock your pantry and get 25% off when you order four. That's coxsaucebbqsauce.com. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 116 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and it's Christmas time. Merry Christmas to y'all out there. I hope you sent your letters to Santa. I hope you got the milk and cookies ready, and Christmas hams bought, whatever the hell we do for Christmas. Just, it's holiday break, Friday before Christmas. It is officially, you're just mailing it in. I hope you got a couple days off where you can just eat and be merry and just watch a ton of sports and just do whatever you want to do, because it is officially holiday time here. Appreciate all y'all. Merry Christmas, and I hope y'all have a nice time here. Got a fun episode for you all here. Going to do a few things. Going to start with the week in review from around Carolina Athletics, which is just news from the football team because they are making waves. And then got score updates from both basketball teams. And then, as previously promised and profited and foretold, it is bowl bonanza. That's right. It is the Bowl Bonanza episode where I will be previewing 10 bowl games and giving my picks and letting y'all know what I think about each bowl game as well. So without further ado, let's jump right into this here with our week in review. And yeah, another big week for the football program. This team keeps staying in the news, and I love it. As a fan, I absolutely love it. As a quote-unquote content creator, I love it. But I'll take football as long as I can get it. So starting off with a couple roster updates here. This, I think, fell through the cracks in my last episode, but Dylan Wonnum has entered his name for the NFL draft. And, you know, this is a big-time shout-out to Dylan Wonnum. You know, of course I would like to see him in the bowl game, but, you know, this was a guy that made his impact right away. His freshman year, came in, was playing early and often. It honestly feels like he's been on this team for like 10 freaking years. It just feels like he's been here forever. So it's definitely his time to try and play on Sundays. I hope he has success at the next level. Shout out Dylan Wonnum. Also, Devonnie Reed entered his name into the NFL draft. Devonnie coming in this year via the transfer portal. And I thought Devonnie could have benefited from him playing the bowl game. Best of luck to you at the next level. We got DQ and Nick Emanwori in the back there. So aside from that, as you have some departures, the big news from this week was that signing day has come and gone. So now we welcome in the newest members of the Gamecock football family. This was a big time recruiting class for Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks. Now, if you remember, there's the early signing period. So you have this one in December, then there's another one later in the year. It's very confusing. But for all intents and purposes, like, this is when you sign your recruits. So Carolina, as it stands right now, has the 16th ranked class by 247 Sports, which is good enough for the best class at South Carolina since 2012. Those were a couple good years, right? 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. Yeah, so that's a good mark to hit. And it was only the fourth top 16 class ever at South Carolina. And what's cool about it is that there are still some targets out there for Beamer and company. So, you know, this can only go up, really. But the vast majority, like 95% of guys who they wanted, are locked in now. So really, you can say that this class is set. You're looking at 13 four-star recruits and 9 three-star recruits. I'm going to say that one more time. 13 four-star recruits. It's a big-time class with limitless potential. But, you know, I would really suggest checking out all the commits. Go in, see who you like. Go really, like, get familiar with these guys, because this could be a class that we look back on as a potential turning point. You know, you coupled it with this really good season, really strong finish to the end of the year. And this was a class that Shane Beamer talked about and said he was working on basically since he got hired. He was behind the eight ball when he first got hired in that class. You remember, it was real small. And then the next class after that, that would have been the class of 22. It was a solid class. I think it came in at 25 or 23. But he was saying that they built relationships for like 2 years with a lot of these guys. And it paid off, because this is a serious class. Some of the headliners are offensive lineman Marquis Anderson from South Carolina, offensive lineman Tree Babelade from Maryland. A lot of drama with his recruitment, but it was exciting. Linebacker Pup Howard from Florida. I've talked about him a lot. Defensive lineman Xavier McLeod. He's from South Carolina, I believe. And you can tell it was this big effort to beef up the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. But at the same time, there's skill position players as well, right? And there's still the possibility to add more. Looking at a quarterback in Lenora Sellers. Big-time athlete, five-star athlete, Nicholas Harbor out of Maryland is still on the board, still a possibility. So it's really, really cool to see. The future is certainly bright. I'm excited to see what these guys can bring. Of course, you know, maybe you get a couple of guys that can perform well as true freshmen. A lot of this has time to develop, but man, this could be a serious class. But then also on the football side here, the team had their last practice in Columbia before they picked things back up in Jacksonville, practicing ahead of the bowl game. So we're right here. I mean, the bowl game is around the corner. Merry Christmas to Shane Beamer and the football team. And see y'all in Jacksonville. But moving over to games that have been played, starting with women's basketball. Wednesday afternoon, the Gamecocks beat Coastal Carolina 102-39. Sheesh! I mean, before this game, I was like, I don't know if it's going to be as much of a butt-kicking as Charleston Southern, but yeah, it was, and actually, and then some. Just, that's all you got to know. Some player highlights for you here. Ashlyn Watkins with 16 points. Zaya Cook with 14 points and 5 assists. Aaliyah Boston, 11 points and 10 rebounds. It's double-double like it's clockwork. And the women's next game is next Thursday as they open SEC play against Texas A&M. So I will dive into that after Christmas. Moving over to the men's side here, they got a victory and delivered an early Christmas present to the home fans, defeating Western Kentucky 65-58. You know, this team, the Gamecocks, they were looking free, aggressive. You saw guys taking shots, hitting them at a decent clip too, you know, especially from beyond the arc. Defensively, the Gamecocks tightened up in the second half, which was really big to build that lead. I think they were only, it was only up by one at the half. So it was back and forth there. But even in that first half, Carolina kept Western Kentucky to really low percentage with the three ball, which was great because what has plagued this team in the bad losses has been getting behind in that first half by a margin that is just seemingly insurmountable. Where this team has played well in the second half, but it's been too little too late. So they were able to go in with just enough and then clamp down in the second. Player highlights for y'all here. Michi Johnson with a monster game. 25 points and 6 rebounds. He was on fire to start the game. GG Jackson with 12 points and 16. That's right, 16 rebounds. Also with a monster alley-oop dunk. The kid is just so much fun to watch. He really is. So cool. And then their next game is actually, it's the night of the bowl game. So on the 30th against Eastern Michigan. So you got a full afternoon and evening of Carolina sports on the 30th, which is really fun. And I will dive into that. I'll couple that with the next episode, but really the preview, the bowl game preview episode, mind you, not the next episode. But speaking of bowl games, it is bowl bonanza. And as I said earlier, we are neck deep in bowl season. We all will need a break from our families over the holidays. You want to watch your bowl games. So let's dive into some of these, right? I'm going to give my picks. Might be the sides, might be the totals, and let's try to make back some of the money we all spent over the holidays, huh? What do you say? And honestly, if you want to make the money, you should probably do the opposite of what I say, because just not the best. But I actually think I did okay this year. But I will not be doing the New Year's Six Bowls. I will do a New Year's Six Pack of Picks along with the bowl game preview. So this is just a bunch of the other bowls here. So starting with the Gasparilla Bowl, Friday the 23rd, this Friday, looking at Wake Forest versus Mizzou. Give me Wake Forest -2. A lot of that is just F you to Mizzou. Moving on to the First Responders Bowl, Tuesday the 27th, Memphis versus Utah State. I'm going over 60.5. Both teams tended to have higher scoring games close. So it makes me think that, you know, after the break, maybe they're just going to keep clicking. Moving on to the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Tuesday the 27th as well. This is an interesting one here. Wisconsin versus Oklahoma State. Now, Wisco had an interesting year. They were really up and down. They have a good defense. Jim Leonard, the interim coach. Obviously, they hired Luke Fickell, but he's not doing anything with the bowl game. Oklahoma State has lost some guys to the portal, to the draft. Oklahoma State, though, is still getting 3.5 points. So I'm going to take the Pokes there. I just think they're going to be a little too much, and it just feels like it's a close game, so I'll take the points. Holiday Bowl, Wednesday the 28th, looking at Oregon versus UNC. Talk about losing players to the portal and to the draft. The North Carolina Tar Heels, sheesh. I mean, I don't know what is going on in Chapel Hill, but those guys know something. And they are leaving by the busload. So I'm going with Oregon minus 14.5. I don't know anything about Oregon's roster, whether portal or not. They had a really good year this year. I mean, as did UNC. But when you see these teams having the mass exodus, I don't care even if your starters are in place. You don't have the depth. Your practice is all out of whack. Look at what happened with Florida in their bowl game. They lost like nearly 20 guys. You just can't recover from that. But UNC did lose a bunch of key players. Next is the Pinstripe Bowl, Syracuse versus Minnesota. I'm going with the over at 42. Now, Syracuse tends to score a lot of points. Minnesota does not. However, it's one of those deals where I think it's going to be just enough. Like, I think Syracuse will get maybe their 28 points, something like that, 30 points, and Minnesota will keep it close, thus pushing it over. Next, looking at the Alamo Bowl. It's a tongue twister. Thursday the 29th, Texas versus Washington. This was a really high total. Y'all know me. I tend to like my overs, but the over was set at 67.5. That feels high. You know, Texas can score in bunches. Washington had a really good year, too, pretty quietly. However, that just feels a little high. So going to take the under there. And then the Sun Bowl, Friday the 30th, you're looking at Pittsburgh versus UCLA. Going the opposite here. I'm taking the over at 54. UCLA was a team that scored in bunches. This feels right. That's a good number that I like. And then the Arizona Bowl. See, I tried to mix things up here. I tried to give my Power Five, and then you try to get some of the smaller schools here. So the Arizona Bowl, Friday the 30th, Ohio versus Wyoming. This is low. The next two are interesting. Under 42. Yeah, I just think both teams, they were not able to score a whole lot. Wyoming, you know, there's that freaking like blizzard apocalypse going on out there now. I don't know if they were able to practice. I don't know if they're going to be able to fly out of there. It's a mess. Taking the under, there's just a lot of things at play there. Plus, you have two of those. The two teams are just a whole new climate. Yeah. Moving on to the Music City Bowl, Saturday the 31st, Iowa versus Kentucky. I have to do this because I said when this matchup happened and when Levis declared for the draft, I said that is going to be the under of the century. Under 31 points. Iowa never scores at all. They have not scored all season. They score like 10 points a game, and it's usually because of like a scoop and score. Kentucky struggled at times to score points, but when they did, it was because Levis was making plays. Levis is gone now. They have some other depth pieces left, running back. This feels right, the under at 31. Plus, we saw their backup quarterback when we played them. The guy kind of stinks. And then wrapping up the bowl bonanza here with the ReliaQuest Bowl, Monday the 2nd, Mississippi State versus Illinois. How can you not go with Mississippi State here? Mississippi State plus one. Wow. Whew. That was a lot. Bowl bonanza. If you want my picks, DM me. I know it's kind of hard to listen and pause and all that jazz, but that's bowl bonanza. It's great. And then again, I'll do the New Year's six games with our bowl preview game. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.